Thank you very much, Steve. As we were talking about this morning, forgiveness starts with our understanding that each one of us is a sinner in need of a Savior, and we need forgiveness from God. And our forgiveness that we receive from God is the basis by which we can forgive others around about us and receive their forgiveness. And it's so wonderful when we understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us our sins, when we come in faith to Him, He forgives, He cleanses, He washes away, He erases, He wipes the record absolutely clean. And we saw this morning that forgiveness is comparable to a financial debt being erased, but it's so much more. When the Lord Jesus from the cross says, "It is finished," in John 19 and verse 30, He was literally saying, "It is paid in full. It is paid in full." He took the punishment we deserved. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took the condemnation. He took the wrath of God. It is paid in full, which means we are free. We are released from that burden. Throughout my life, I've met many people who are walking under a burden of unforgiveness, and they refuse to turn to the Lord. They keep their burden of unforgiveness. They live and move in it. Their lives are a mess and destruction, but they will not come to the Lord to receive His forgiveness. And so they go from one disaster to another, one pain to another, one burden to another. How wonderful it is, how lovely to not have to live under that debt. And the Lord offers to each one of us freely that wonderful offer of forgiveness. You know, Psalm 103 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Completely removed from us, as far as the east is from the west. It is impossible to have salvation without forgiveness. Now again, I've met people who profess to be Christians, but if you ask them, "Are you assured that your sins are forgiven?" they say they're not assured. They're struggling with that assurance. You cannot be saved without having forgiveness of sins. It's at the very core of salvation. Salvation is God's forgiveness. Salvation is God's deliverance from sin and the consequences, eternal consequences of sin. A well-known old hymn reminds us, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." Well, that forgiveness that we come and receive from the Lord then becomes the basis for the two other areas of forgiveness that we want to talk about tonight. And that is in terms of human relationships. We want to start by affirming and thinking of this, that each one of us needs to ask forgiveness from people that we have hurt and harmed and failed and disappointed. And that's true again of every one of us. Nobody can say, "You know what, I've never disappointed anybody. I've never done anything wrong against anybody." If we think that, we're only fooling ourselves, right? Every one of us is in the position of needing to ask forgiveness. We have sinned against people in various ways, big ways and small ways. We've offended people, right? We've let people down. We've irritated and frustrated people. At times we've caused other people to be angry, upset, or whatever. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we don't even realize what we've done, right? And somebody now has taken offense at something that we have said or done. And so when we become aware that we have done something to other, if we become aware that somebody has something against us, we need to go and to ask forgiveness from them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 instructs us to go and be reconciled to your brother, even before you come to bring your offering to the Lord. In other words, even before you come to pray about other things, it's very important that we deal with the issue of forgiveness. God is a God of relationships, remember, and He intends for us to have good relationships with Him as well as good relationships with the people around about us. Now, we all know realistically relationships are complicated. They are very complicated. Sometimes we can be very sensitive and just a little thing can set us off. Sometimes there are very, very major reasons why relationships break down. But James chapter 5 and verse 16 encourages us, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the idea there is that you might be reconciled or restored in your relationship. So this is not given just in the sense of, you know, let's just get together and air our dirty laundry, as it were. But it's rather, confess your sins. I've sinned against you. I've hurt you. I admit that. I want to acknowledge that. And so that we can pray together and pray for one another that we can be restored. The Apostle Paul says, let us pursue the things that make for peace. Again, the context there is peace in terms of relationship. Let's pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. That's from Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. We want to be those people who encourage and build up other people, not those people that are tearing down and discouraging and being a stumbling block to other people. We don't want to be those who are wrecking relationships. We want to be those who are healing relationships. And of course, we have to really want that peace. We have to want that reconciliation. If we're stubborn and proud and we dig our heels in, I'm not going to budge on this. It's all the other person's fault. There will be no reconciliation. But we have to take the example of the Lord Jesus. He came to guilty, undeserving, ungodly sinners. We didn't make the first move to him. We didn't say, okay, God, we realize we've fallen. We need you to send us a solution. We would never have asked for that. He took the initiative. He approached us. We had offended him, but he took the first step to come to us to initiate reconciliation. And so we need to follow that example. And we need to take the first step. Don't wait for the other person. How did the Lord Jesus do that? By humbling himself, making himself of no reputation. He made himself vulnerable. He put his life on the line to make peace, to reconcile us so that our sins could be forgiven. It cost him a lot to do that. And you know, forgiveness is costly. It is. And for us to follow the Lord's example in dealing with human relationships, we have to be willing to pay a price. We have to be willing to put it all on the line. We have to be that genuine and sincere and serious about wanting good relationships. It definitely takes humility, and it takes us dealing with our pride and our stubbornness. Interesting, the different contexts in Scripture where you get little vignettes of this. Psalm 34 and verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Kind of two sides of the same coin. On the one side, depart from evil, right? Don't keep following that path of destruction and harm and breaking relationships. Depart from evil. On the other hand, seek peace. And he says, pursue it. Go after it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And that frames it in a context that's very serious, isn't it? We need to pursue peace with all people. Where are the relationships in our lives that are hurting? Is it with a child, with a sibling, between us and our parents, friends, a cousin perhaps, or somebody at work, or somebody from school? Wherever those broken and hurt relationships are, our desire should be we want to pursue peace with anybody with whom we need reconciliation. And he talks about pursuing peace and holiness. I think that's an important aspect of it, and it speaks again to what we read in the Psalms there. Depart from evil, right? Desire to be clean, desire to be pure, desire to be holy, desire the character of the Lord, and to follow him in seeking peace. Okay, so let's look at some things that are very practical, some key ingredients for restoring relationships with people that we have hurt or harmed or failed or sinned against, and that we need to ask that forgiveness. Where do we start with this? I think it starts with us first, where we honestly need to think through and assess our actions. What have I done? And if you're not sure why the relationship has been hurt, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Lord, I want to know, how have I hurt this person? Show me what were my wrong attitudes? What was my selfishness? Where was my pride? Where was my arrogance? Lord, what is it in me that caused this relationship to be hurt? Because, Lord, I really want to make things right with them. Right? I want to pursue peace. I want to pursue forgiveness. So honestly assess and think through. What did I say? What did I do? What were my attitudes? And, Lord, show me so that I know what the basis, what the core of the problem really is. Secondly, and it kind of is a no-brainer, but we have to take responsibility for what we have done. I can think of some things that I've done wrong, and then in my mind begin to justify it. Well, there was a reason. My sins, there are good reasons for those. Your sins, there's no excuse, right? We need to take responsibility for what we've done. And instead of trying to find an out, to let ourselves off the hook, we need to just say, you know what? I did wrong. Let's just call a spade a spade. I sinned. I was selfish. I was angry. I was irritable. I was mean-tempered. Just call a spade, take responsibility for what you have done. And of course, part of that is not making the excuses. It's being transparent with the other person. And when you come to apologize, when you come to ask forgiveness, you cannot come on the basis of, well, if I hurt you, then forgive me. No, if I hurt you, no, you're not repented. You're not sorry for what happened. You're not even sure what happened. You need to go at that point, which you can absolutely, with complete transparency and honesty, say, this is what I did, and I realize what I did, and I understand why that was wrong. I understand now why that hurt you. I understand why that angered you. See, I've thought through this. I've prayed through this. I've wrestled and labored over this. I take responsibility. I admit my faults, and I'm confessing it to you from a sincere heart. I was wrong. I am sorry. And I think part of that is to acknowledge how it hurt the other person. If we're still at the point of saying, well, I'm not sure. Yeah, I know what I did, but I don't understand why they were so upset with me. You haven't yet entered into to be sensitive to understand how that affected them. And you need to pray about that. You need to say, Lord, show me that. Show me how it impacted them. Show me why that hurt them so badly, right? We need to get to that point where we understand their disappointment, their pain, which we have caused, and taking full responsibility for it. Do we feel like doing that? No, we never do, right? We're just human, so we don't feel like doing that. That's where we need to pray through each one of these steps and really pray that the Holy Spirit would give us the sensitivity, that the Lord would give us the grace to be able to deal with this. I would say then part of this is humbling ourselves. I don't know, I'm sure none of you have this problem, but by nature I'm stubborn and proud. I'm sure none of you struggle with that, right? We're human, we know what that is, right? We dig our heels in. We try and save face. We try and put our best foot forward. You know, when you're telling a story to somebody else about an incident, you put yourself in the best light possible and the other person in the worst light possible, right? So that the person will like you and not like the other person. But that's not helpful and that's not good. So we need to humble ourselves and not be stubborn and proud about that. Humility promotes reconciliation. Pride defends self, arrogance rises up and excuses or tries to justify self. If we don't have humility, we will never have reconciliation. Absolutely important. And then we need, here's a word I think that's important. It's the word yield. Yield. In James chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, wisdom that is from above, wisdom that's from God, heavenly wisdom, is first of all pure, it's clean, it's godly, right? It's peaceable, it wants peace, it seeks peace, it promotes peace. It is gentle, it's not rough, it's not pushy, right? It's willing to yield, willing to give in, and it's full of mercy. So the wisdom of God directs us to yield. Instead of saying, my rights, my preferences, what I want. No, it's willing to yield. Say, you know what? My greatest concern here is for forgiveness and reconciliation. That's what I'm asking you for, right? Yes, maybe my feelings were hurt in this process too. Maybe you even did some things against me, but I'm willing to yield. I'm willing to let go all of that because my greatest desire is for God to be glorified in this, and I need you to forgive me for how I wronged you. So it needs to yield. So we need to assess and think through our own actions. We need to take responsibility for what we've done. We must be careful not to make excuses. We need to humble ourselves, and then we need to go and apologize. Aren't those some of the hardest words to say? I am, well, you know what I'm trying to say, right? No, you got to spit it out. You got to actually get to that point and say, I am sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry I was stupid and dumb and insolent and arrogant and selfish. I am sorry. You know, it's a fascinating thing that often in human relationships where two people get into an argument, how that can just escalate and get further and further and deeper in. And we've all been there. And you walk away from each other mad and you separate, and it's just it's a horrible situation. But you know, sometimes even in the midst of that friction and that conflict, if one person suddenly yields and says, you're right, you know what? I'm sorry. A soft, gentle answer turns away wrath. What do you do when somebody's apologizing? It's hard to stay mad at them, right? We always tell couples when they're going through difficulties, what you need to do is to go and sit next to each other and hold hands. Hold hands, I'm mad as a hatter. Hold hands. And pray together, and if necessary, in prayer, both apologize to the Lord. It's really hard to stay mad at each other in a situation like that. Apologize. Now, the apology has to be genuine. A kind of a weak, insincere, or half-hearted apology will make things worse. If you go and you say, I'm sorry, and you don't mean you're sorry, the other person will see through the superficiality of that. That's why in giving these steps, apologize only comes down here in a sense, right? Because before we apologize, we've got to first think through our own actions. We have to take responsibility for what we've done. We have to not make excuses. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. We have to be willing to yield, and then we come to apologize. If I have hurt somebody, they will be more likely to forgive me and less likely to retaliate if they can sense I'm coming with remorse, repentance, distress because of what I've done. If they sense you understand what you did against me, they would be more likely to forgive me. When should you do this? ASAP. ASAP. Scripture says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. And the longer we leave the issues, the worse they get. They fester. They're like a sore that it doesn't go away. More and more, like you keep picking at it, right? And it gets worse and worse and worse. And it begins to spiral out of control. And sometimes something that started fairly small, but because you refuse to deal with it, you refuse to apologize, you refuse to confess it, you refuse to ask for forgiveness, now it's a big thing. And it becomes bigger. And other things add to it. So as soon as possible, you need to ask for forgiveness. And you see, let's please remember that every one of us needs to ask forgiveness from somebody. We do. And if you don't think there's anybody, you ask the Lord to reveal that to you, and He will show you. There's a couple of other things that's very important when we go to ask for forgiveness. Don't demand. Do not demand that the person forgives. I've been in situations where I've heard one spouse say to another spouse, you're supposed to forgive me just like, you know, God forgave you. Do you think there's going to be any forgiveness in that scenario? Never. Never. You cannot demand forgiveness. You cannot force somebody to forgive you. Remember that sometimes forgiveness is a process. You have to be willing to give the person time. You cannot force their emotions. They need to process that and think about it. They've been mad. They've been upset. They've been angry. There's been distance between you, and suddenly you show up and ask for forgiveness. They're like, whoa, where's this come from? Out of the blue. After all you've done, now suddenly you want me to forgive you and forget this whole thing? Wait a minute, I got to think about this. See, forgiveness sometimes does not come easily. Somebody may need time and to process that. You know, even if the person rebuffs you, would you forgive me? I'm not ready for that. Don't get mad back. Don't make it worse. At that point, you need the humility to say, I understand. I'll give you all the time you need. There's no pressure. There's no coercion. I'm not demanding anything. I'm asking. And I'm asking for your grace. I don't deserve you to forgive me, but I'm asking you to forgive me. So you come on the basis of grace. Not that, well, I've cleaned up my act. I've tried to turn over a new leaf. You know, I'm a better person now. Or I went to counseling, and so I've been working on this. None of that cuts it. Because you're trying to come for forgiveness on the basis of merit. God doesn't forgive us on the basis of merit. We always have to come by for his grace. Nobody can receive forgiveness from God by saying, you know what? Yeah, I did some bad things in the past, but now I've become religious, and I've tried this, and I've done that, and I've been baptized, and I give money or whatever, and I'm really kind to my family now, so Lord, you've got to forgive me. There's no forgiveness on the basis of merit. It comes on the basis of his grace through sacrifice of the cross. It's the only way forgiveness comes to us. And if you're going to ask forgiveness of another human being, you have to come on the basis of them being gracious to you. You cannot demand, and you cannot try to strong arm them by trying to impress them with stuff that you've been doing, or to try and clean up your act. Understand that sometimes forgiveness is a process. So if they are not ready yet to release the debt, if they are not ready to forgive, you need to treat them with compassion and respect and love and patience and be willing to pray this thing through and wait for as long as it takes. And there are times that the other person may never be willing to forgive you. You've got to be prepared for that. You can be as genuine as everything. You can pray through it and you can go and ask forgiveness, and the other person says, no, I will not forgive you. I can never let go of the things that you have done. You have no control over that, of that other person. Remember that. You have to come in a spirit of truly wanting forgiveness, but you cannot force them to forgive. And if they don't forgive, you have to be willing to receive that and accept that as a consequence of your own wrongdoing. You cannot blame them for not forgiving you. You have to understand that maybe the hurt that they've experienced was even greater than you ever imagined. And you can say, you know what? I understand why you would not want to forgive me, and I don't blame you at all. Maybe if the tables were turned, maybe I wouldn't want to forgive somebody who'd done to me what I've done to you. I understand. And I'm absolutely willing just to leave it there. If you ever find it in your heart to forgive me, I would just love to hear those words from your lips. I forgive you. Please, that's what I desire. And you have to leave it and sometimes walk away. And we've counseled people who have struggled with that. They have cried over that. They've agonized over that. I want forgiveness. And the other person is unwilling to forgive them. In a situation like that, you have to then take that burden to the Lord and understand this. That even that struggle, that pain, has been nailed to the cross. Jesus died even for that situation, that sin. You don't have to carry that in a sense as a burden which cannot be managed. You can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, you understand everything. I've been honest here. The person's not willing to forgive me. I don't blame them. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter that they won't forgive me. I give this all to you, Lord. I pray that you would work in their hearts. And if possible, bring them to that position of being ready to forgive. I am ready to receive their forgiveness. And I want to keep in that attitude and spirit of being ready to receive that forgiveness. But Lord, it's all in your hands. It's all in your time. Sometimes at that point, you may need to share that with a very trusted, mature Christian who can keep it in strict confidence and can help walk you through that journey. Because the burden of that may come back into your mind again and again and again. And you may just need that encouragement, that support, to say, I don't want my attitude to go bad again. I don't want my soul to be poisoned again with this. I really want to maintain the spirit and willingness to receive forgiveness. Would you just pray with me through this? What scriptures could you share with me that might be a help to me at this point? One other area that I think is important, and it depends on the situation, but in certain situations, part of our apology is to offer to make restitution. What can I do to make it up to you? How can I remedy this? What could I do or say that would help to bring about forgiveness and reconciliation. Obviously, in some cases, it might be a payment that is made, some kind of compensation, some damage that was done that we're able to rectify. But there's some things that simply you can't make any restitution. So you need to put the solution in the other person's hands. What can I do? What can I say? What would help you in this process? And if they communicate something to you, you have to accept that at that point. You might think, well, that's unreasonable. That cost is too high. I could never pay that cost. I mean, that would just be so huge in my life. Instead of questioning it, at that point you need to be willing to accept what they say. And I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, they don't actually want that payment, but they want to see your attitude in response to what they say. Most times they're not looking for that. But when you resist at that point, their conclusion is, you're not really sorry for what you did. You don't understand the hurt I've been through, and they're going to push you away. Your willingness at that point to say, I will accept what you say. And yes, I am so genuine and sincere and serious about wanting this forgiveness, I will do anything and everything to win back your trust, to put myself in a position where you feel we can be reconciled and our relationship can be healed and that we can move forward in restoration. You know, sometimes we need to speak and sometimes we just need to listen. There are times that we may feel like, I want to say something in this situation, and we just need to zip the lip and listen, right? And hear the person out for what they're saying. And sometimes before we even respond, we might have to say, give me time to think about this. Give me time to pray about this before I can even give you an intelligent response. Is this hard? You better believe it's hard. You better believe it's hard. But maybe the Lord is laying on your heart this evening, right now, someone that you need to go to and to start this process of forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe some of these steps that we've talked about, or maybe steps that you need to start following. The third area of forgiveness is each one of us needs to forgive those who have sinned against us and hurt us and failed us. So now the tables are turned. That other person may not even realize what they've said or done, but we have felt offended, right? Maybe they have failed our expectations. We thought that they should be this. We thought that they should be more mature. We thought that they should be kinder, whatever. We thought they might have more wisdom, whatever. They have failed our expectations. And we have a choice then to make. Somebody else has hurt or harmed or offended us. Do we hold on to the anger and let it fester into resentment and then fester into a root of bitterness and hatred and even violent thoughts against them and wishing the worst upon them? Or do we embrace forgiveness, deal with the issue, find the freedom and release, and then move on with our life? And it really is a choice that we have to make. Obviously, one area is we have to be careful to not be oversensitive. Sometimes we can allow little things to really hurt and harm us and make us upset. And this is kind of a fine balance here. It's almost like trying to, you know, walk on a sharp knife. It's like on the one side, I need to understand if somebody else has oversensitive conscience. And I don't think they should be offended, but they were offended. I need to accept that and give them that. But for me, I need to be careful that I'm not being oversensitive, right? I need to learn to take things to the Lord. Before I react, before I'm resentful towards others, I need to learn to take it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I was hurt when that person said that, but you know what? I want to release that to you, Lord. I want to give that to you. I want to blow this up out of all proportion. I don't make a big thing out of this. I'm just going to let it go. I think that's very important in human relationships because we can take every little thing and make it a huge thing. We just blow it up, right? And it's very hard to live like that. It's very hard to have good relationships if every little thing, we're always picking on it, you know. I stayed with some folks for a time down in the southern U.S., and there were an older couple who had a lovely relationship. And he told me one day, he said, you know, Peter, you don't have to tell all you know in every circumstance. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, well, there's times that you will experience things, and you just need to be quiet and just pray about it and commit it to the Lord. Don't feel you need to always have something to say. Don't feel you always have to express your opinion about absolutely everything. And he spoke to me in terms of even a marriage situation, and he said, I wasn't married at that point. He said, but when you get married, he said, don't try and find as much fault as you can with your wife. He said, minimize that. Let love cover a multitude of wrongs and sins. Let it go. Don't pick at everything. Don't fight at everything. Let it go. And he said, but when the other person is offended, then you allow them to have that sensitivity, and you don't try and shut them down on that. So it's kind of like that thing of a sharp two-edged sword in a sense. I think we've all encountered those situations where maybe a friend has betrayed our trust. I remember speaking a while ago to a young mom who she said her mother criticized her parenting skills. Every time her mom came over, her mom said, why are you doing that? You shouldn't do that with your kids. You know, I didn't do that with you kids when you were growing up. And was always criticizing her parenting skills. And it formed a real division between that daughter and her mother. Her mother never had a kind, positive word to say. We've had the situation probably too where people have spread a false rumor about us. For whatever reason, they don't like us. And behind our back, they talk about us. Maybe at work, a colleague sabotages a project or something. I mean, all these things are amazing and difficult things. Sometimes a partner, a spouse, has an affair. These are wounds. These are wounds that can leave us feeling confused, sad, angry, bitter, or even vengeful. We need to forgive the people who have hurt us and failed us. If we dwell on the hurtful events or situations, we begin to bear a grudge. This is unfair. It's unjust. Why did they treat me like this? They shouldn't have, right? And we can become hostile to that other person, and those negative feelings begin to crowd everything else out in our perspective. And we can become swallowed up by our own bitterness or our sense of injustice. Somebody said this, and I think it's very powerful. If you don't practice forgiveness, you will be the one who pays most dearly. Did you get that? If you don't practice forgiveness, you might be the one who pays most dearly. When we want to hang on to the bitterness, we want to bear those grudges, right? Bitterness consumes the vessel that contains it. And when we hang on to that resentment, when we refuse to forgive other people who have hurt and harmed us, whatever the situation was, it brings anger and bitterness, not into only that relationship. It's a root of bitterness that poisons our own soul. It will destroy our walk with the Lord. It will destroy our peace with the Lord. It will destroy fellowship with other believers. It will affect every relationship, every new experience. We become so wrapped up in the wrong and refuse to let go of it that we cannot enjoy the present. And it clouds our perspective. Sometimes when we're dealing with people who are depressed and anxious and fearful, the root cause is unforgiveness. Somewhere back, they've held a grudge. Somebody has hurt them. And boy, they think that they're punishing the other person by refusing to forgive them. But you know who they're really punishing? Themselves. And you know, when you think about it, even if you have been hurt or harmed in the most terrible way possible, you've been a victim of somebody else's sin, why become a victim again of your own bitterness? You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. You're poisoning your own soul. And that causes not only that relationship, but all other relationships to be affected. We need to be careful that we're not defined by our hurt. Defined by, in other words, something happened and it was legitimate, it was bad, they shouldn't have done that, but I'm now going to cling to that. I'm going to allow that to shape and mold me and define who I am and what I am. Forgiveness not only releases the other person from the debt that they owe, it also releases ourselves. And above all, it pleases and it glorifies the Lord. Now we know we're human. If something has been done that's of a serious nature against us, it's impossible to completely forget that. You know, sometimes we find that people say you have to forgive and forget, and if you haven't forgotten, then you've never truly forgiven. Well, I don't know if we can absolutely forgive. The scripture says the Lord forgets our sin, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't know about them. God cannot forget anything. But the sense is he buries those sins. He has covered them at the cross, and through the propitiation of the cross, he takes them, he buries them in the deepest ocean, and he puts up a sign, no fishing. Nobody's allowed to dredge it up again. Nobody's allowed to bring that up again. The past is the past, right? And in that sense, we forget it in the sense of letting go of it. So it'll come back to your mind again and again. It will throughout your whole life. But every time it does, you again go through this process of letting go of that. I want to forgive anybody that has hurt or harmed me. When I was a young person, I had an uncle who was an alcoholic. And he treated my aunt and my cousins terribly. And some horrible things happened. And I really struggled with unforgiveness towards him. One night I'd been out with my aunt, who was a believer, to a New Year's Eve service. And we came back after the New Year's Eve service, so it was late at night. And the house was in complete darkness. And we thought, I wonder where my uncle is. And so we went up the stairs and fumbled with the door. My aunt got the door open. She swung the door open and reached her hand in and turned the light on. And when she did, my uncle was sitting on a chair facing the door with a revolver in his hand pointed right at us, alcohol bottles all around him. We ran down the stairs and he was fairly drunk and he stumbled after us and he was cursing and he was wanting to shoot us. And we ran around to the back of the house and let ourselves in there and got into one of the bedrooms. We moved the furniture up against the door to barricade the door and then we hid under the beds. And he cursed and shouted and screamed and kicked at the door and at the window, and eventually he passed out. I was so angry with that man. I was so angry with that man. For years I carried a root of bitterness back in my mind. Never told anybody what my internal thoughts were. But if I could have somehow harmed that man, I would have, for all that he did to my aunt and my cousins. I was just so angry with him. And sometime, a few years after I was a believer, the Lord brought it back to my mind one day. Have you forgiven your uncle? He'd actually taken his own life by that stage. He'd committed suicide. I couldn't go and talk to him. That wasn't even a possibility. But I had a root of bitterness that was still poisoning my own soul. And I had to get down on my knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to release this. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to keep it any longer. I'm taking it to the cross, Lord, and I'm leaving my burden at the cross. And you know, there was a sense of relief and freedom, and just giving it up, not carrying it, not thinking about it all the time, and just giving it to the Lord. Yes, we may remember things, and some of those events come back again and again. And you know, we can excuse a person without excusing the act. We can, forgive the person without excusing the act. The act was wrong. We can know that somebody has done something that is terrible. God's word says that that's wrong. It was clearly wrong in what they did to me. I don't have to excuse the act. I don't have to pretend that it never happened. I don't have to pretend that it wasn't wrong. That's not what forgiveness is about. But forgiveness is this canceling the debt that was incurred, letting go of the pain, the hurt, forgiving. And it's only because of the cross. Now, again, we understand that there are circumstances where somebody has harmed us, and that person is not trustworthy, right? And we can forgive them, but we would be foolish to trust them again in that situation. Think of many abuse situations. Yes, somebody who's been abused can forgive their abuser, but it would be foolish to put themselves in danger's way again, all over again, right? Somebody who has proven themselves to be deceitful, and cheating and lying. It's not right to simply say, well, I forgive you, so we'll just put you back in a position of responsibility in this area. No. Wisdom says that person has proven themselves unreliable. So though I forgive them, I don't excuse the act, and I don't excuse that character flaw that is in them. They need ongoing help perhaps, but even if they don't want to get that, we need just to be wise in how we treat them and how we expose ourselves to that person again in the future. There are some things that just have long-range consequences. You know, heard about two guys that were drunk, they were fighting in a bar, and as a result of the accident, the one guy lost an eye. And when they were both sober, the fellow who had caused this accident was bitterly sorry, apologize. This was his best friend. He'd never wanted to do this. And his friend forgave him. But his friend only had one eye for the rest of his life. The consequence remained, right? And so many things that we do, we understand there are long-range consequences, and God doesn't always wipe away all those things. But at least in the midst of all of that, there can be forgiveness, which brings peace and helps us to go on with life. We don't forgive because people deserve to be forgiven. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We don't give because they deserve to be forgiven. We give on the basis of grace because we have received grace. On the basis of our forgiveness from God, we can be forgiving. And that's a key. That's a key to forgiveness. If you're struggling to forgive, go back to that truth and reflect again on how much you have been forgiven by the Lord. The mountain of sin, of wrongdoing, of iniquity, of transgression that you have been forgiven. On the basis of that, you be gracious to those in your life. Forgiveness is presented as an essential part of the life of believers. It's not an option for us. If you're a believer, if you have been forgiven by Christ, we are commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's not given as a suggestion. It's written in the imperative. It's a command. If you have experienced the forgiveness of God, you have to be a forgiving person. It's a command. We have to be willing to deal with it. Similarly, Colossians 3 and verse 13 says, bear with each other. Put up with each other. We do need to put up with each other. We're all imperfect, right? And we all have struggles and everything else. Put up with each other. Bear with one another. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Why do we forgive? Because we are forgiven. Because we are forgiven. It's grace. It's kindness. God did not forgive us because he felt like it. God forgave us because of his love and his grace. What is the one thing that you have to do, though, to receive God's forgiveness? You have to ask. You have to ask. Right? And in human relationships, that's very important. We have to have a heart willing to forgive. But there has to be the asking to complete the process. Right? Forgiveness is a decision. It's not just a feeling. Feelings obviously are involved. Emotions are very much involved. But forgiveness is to rise above what we naturally feel like doing. We feel like getting even. We feel like getting back. We feel like proving a point. We feel like making them feel bad. But forgiveness rises above that and does what God has commanded us to do. It follows God's pattern of restoring relationships by a decision to act in grace. Somebody's harmed you, offer them pardon. Offer them forgiveness for the offenses which they committed. And they say, well, why would you do that? Because Jesus died for me, that's why. And I've experienced his forgiveness. Offer to release them from that debt of guilt which they owe, to cancel that debt. Why would you do that? Because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He made atonement and propitiation for my sins. I'm willing to release you from that. And not only do we release them from the guilt, the debt, we release our own emotions of anger and resentment and bitterness and so on, thoughts of revenge, and we release that to the Lord. We want our heart to be pure and clean. We need to pursue peace and holiness before the Lord. As we already mentioned, we must take the initiative in seeking to restore broken relationships. Go. Go. Don't wait. Go. Don't wait for the other person to make the first move. Even if you're the one who is at fault, be willing to swallow your pride. Be willing, for the sake of restored relationships, to even accept the blame. Say, well, why would I do that? Because that's what Jesus did. He had no sin. He became sin for us. He took the blame. And if we follow in his footsteps to mend relationships, we need to be willing to take the blame. Is that natural? No, it's not natural. Supernatural. We've got to pray through that. We need God's grace to be able to do that. Forgiveness has no limits. Forgiveness has no limits. God promises that when we come to him confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness, he freely grants it. for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Remember when Peter came to the Lord? How many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me? You know, and seven times? Or the rabbis of the day said you only need to forgive somebody three times, right? And so Peter thought he was being really generous. Okay, I'm going to up that to seven times, you know. And Jesus says, well, no, how about 70 times seven? I can imagine Peter, 490 times? I can't even keep count of that if somebody was to wrong me 490 times. And Jesus said, that's per day? Like, whoa, that many times I've got to be willing to forgive? He said, yeah. And if the Lord had followed through, I'm sure he would have said, Peter, I've forgiven you more than that per day already in the time that we've had together. Right? And so there's no limit on forgiveness. It's not like, okay, I'll forgive you this once, but not again. Right? There is no limits. Do you realize that every day we continue to sin against the Lord, and every day the Lord is willing to forgive us? We should be willing and ready to extend forgiveness to those who come to us asking for forgiveness. And we should be ready to go to those that we need to ask forgiveness of them. Why? Because of the Lord. This is not psychology. This is biblical, spiritual principles. You want to grow spiritually? Deal with unforgiveness in your heart. If you don't deal with it, you won't make progress. You won't grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You'll be under a cloud, under a burden. You will struggle in your spiritual life for the rest of your life unless you're willing to forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these are just reminders from your word, Lord. We all know these things and we've heard them before. But they're such powerful principles. And Lord, forgive us for being so stubborn and proud that we dig our heels in and we want to save face. We don't want to apologize. We don't want to say that we were wrong. We want always the other person to admit that they were wrong. Please help us instead to be like the Lord Jesus in his character, in his humility. He was willing to humble himself and become a servant, to give his life even in sacrifice for our sakes. Thank you that he was willing to take our blame and guilt and shame and everything else upon his shoulders. Help us in just some small way to model that, to be so serious about pursuing peace in relationships as you were serious in pursuing peace with God. So, Father, we pray that we in turn might be people of peace, people of forgiveness, people who seek reconciliation, people who promote reconciliation and healing in relationships. Father, help us. We're weak in this area. We really are. We need your grace. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to strengthen our resolve, to follow through on these truths. But Lord, we know that this is right and this is good. So thank you again, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for our fellowship in the gospel. Thank you for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins because of the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.